Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Today on Wednesdays with Willa, I've got a very special topic for you. I can't wait to introduce this one, folks. This is Wednesdays with Willa. It's my weekly podcast that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. And I typically have a special guest on the show, and we talk about a spiritual topic relating to either spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. And this is one of those more topics as well as being part of the mediumship world. And I have with me today Shannon Taggart. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, hi. How are you
all? Good, good. I'm glad to have you back on the show again. And for those of you who don't know who Shannon Taggart is, she has been coming to Lilydale for decades. And she is a wonderful artist and the author of the book Seance. So I encourage you to look back at the archive videos of the show where Shannon and I have talked about her book, Seance, which features wonderful photographs of trance and physical mediums and things to do with spiritualism. And you know, she has been such an advocate for Lilydale in bringing great programming in the summer to our summer program season. So I'm glad to have her on the show today because we're going to talk about Michael Jackson. So we're going to talk about Michael Jackson and the mediums. And what a great topic. I know a lot of folks are really excited about tuning in for this one because, you know, celebrities have their own kind of draw, absolutely. And he's such an amazing kind of bigger-than-life personality from just a few decades ago, right? And it's something that I know you're going to bring a lot of great information to the show today. And I want to make sure everybody understands this goes out on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and also will go onto my YouTube channel, as well as going out on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio. This is part of the Lilydale Radio family, and there are other shows in the Lilydale Radio that you can tune into throughout the week. All right, Shannon, let's get into our topic for today, Michael Jackson and the mediums.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know that this is a topic that doesn't often get associated with spiritualism, but I was drawn to the topic of Michael Jackson through my work with different mediums. And why we're talking about this today is because I actually gave this presentation about Michael this summer in Lilydale as part of my annual symposium. And there's a venue in London called the Last Tuesday Society that's hosting some of the programming I brought to Lilydale. They wanted to see and they wanted to know about Lilydale. So there'll be online Zoom programs throughout this spring with me hosting with a number of the amazing speakers I brought to Lilydale. And I will be giving the Michael Jackson talk first. So we can find out about all that stuff on my website. But so why I was drawn to Michael Jackson is while I was working on my book, Seance, I encountered a number of mediums who claimed they were in contact with the spirit of Michael Jackson, either mentally or bringing him through in seances. I met mediums who sing as Michael or brought him into the dark room seance and said he was dancing. And I started to think, well, why has Michael Jackson become so popular with all these mediums? And even the Long Island medium, in one of her books, writes about contact with Michael and what he told her after he passed. And I went online and saw tons of different practitioners of all paths, not just spiritualism, online posting these YouTube videos about contact with Michael. about him, and his existence in many ways is just truly like looking through a hall of mirrors. He's researching his life and his spirituality as well. It's very confusing and fascinating and hard to know what's going on, and there's a lot of parallels with him and, you know, mythological gods or shamans or mediums. He had his own mediumistic experiences, which he spoke about. He consulted spiritualist mediums during his life. He was famously had his own system of healing, which he taught to children to have them self-heal. And so there's a lot of unexpected connections between Michael and spiritualism that I draw out throughout this presentation.
It's fascinating, truly fascinating, that he would have those kind of levels of understanding and the tie-in with the mediums of today, so to speak. So tell us more about some of those experiences.
For my research in first the book Seance, I spent a lot of time with physical mediums. And so I was in seances where the medium brought in Michael Jackson and sang as Michael. One had him come dance, like I had mentioned before. And so, I was noticing spirit art about Michael, specifically with a medium I worked with a lot named Sylvia Howard. And I started to research the history of celebrity and mediumship, because it wasn't just Michael, too. I have to say, there are a lot of, in contemporary times, some of the most popular celebrities who appear in seances are Freddie Mercury, Louis Armstrong, the British presenter named Quentin Crisp, who appears kind of a lot. And I noticed that a lot of famous mediums from the past reported experiences with celebrities, although those were different celebrities.
Sure.
For example, when spiritualism first began, one of the most popular spirits was Benjamin Franklin. He appeared in a seance with King Fox. He came to the spiritualist Isaac Post and helped, and Isaac Post wrote a channeled introduction to his own work through the spirit of Benjamin Franklin. He also was involved with one of the most sensational stories in early spiritualism, the creation of the new motor with the John Murray Spear, which was this incredible device, spiritual device, that was built, channeled through scientists. And so, that was early on, you know, and then as the eras go, I noticed it was a common thing. And I am curious, you being a medium, Willa, how do you feel, I am very interested, and I ask other mediums, do you ever get celebrities? Do people ask for them? What do you think of all of this celebrity interaction from the other side?
So I would have to say that there are occasionally, there will be people who ask for celebrities, and I'm not really into doing that. However, they have come in, they've been sneaky. like literally it came through in a reading, I said it, and I'm connecting with this man, and he's Abraham Lincoln tall. And went on to describe, you know, so sometimes they have to sneak past me in that sense. And the gentleman I was doing the reading for was just like, he was gobsmacked, because he was just like, I'm actually researching Abraham Lincoln right now, and I have been feeling his spirit with me. It was monumental for him in terms of proof. And that's happened before, even with people who are scientists. Sometimes their favorite scientists will come through, and I'm like, I'm not trying to, not trying to connect with somebody like Michael Jackson or, you know, those kind of folks. It'll just sort of happen, and they will verify, oh, yeah, you're absolutely connecting with this particular person who's famous, is a famous author or a famous scientist, famous politician, famous musician. And it's not like I'm trying to, though. I don't crave that kind of attention, as it were.
yeah, it's a curious thing. And another big celebrity, who I have to mention, involved in this is Elvis.
Yes, that's who people ask for.
People have asked for Elvis,
and I'm like, you know, I'm not really.
So Raymond Moody, the afterlife researcher who coined the term near-death experience,
mm-hmm.
when he was first writing his famous book, Life After Death, he had so many reports about experiences with the spirit of Elvis that he actually saved those and combined it into a separate book, and it's called Elvis Afterlife. I highly recommend it. It's a fascinating book. And I've encountered mediums who have been in touch with Elvis. In my book, there is a piece about a woman named Myra Bassey in England who does automatic writing with Elvis. And so she considers it a form of physical mediumship where she lets her hand go and he writes. And I had asked Lily Dove medium Lauren Thibodeau when I was doing my book, have you ever had celebrity experiences what has happened? And she said, well, yeah, there was this one time I was giving a reading and I kept getting Elvis. And I said, no, that's not. She kept, you know, throwing it out. And then the third time, she's like, I'm sorry, this doesn't happen often, and I don't try to do this, but I have Elvis here. And it turned out that the person who was getting the reading, her mother was his housekeeper.
See, I like to do it if there's an actual personal connection with the client, because I'm trying to focus on their family and friends that have passed over, not just like random people that decided to walk through. And so they would have to have that kind of connection. But I can see how initially you'd be like, no, Elvis is in the building. You know, like, it's just,
I know, because, and I mean, maybe it is because these celebrities live in our mind in such a powerful way that's how it gets drawn in. I really don't understand it, but I am really, truly fascinated with that connection and what it means and why it happens and why it's important to people. The whole celebrity culture phenomena is it's a big part of culture.
It is, and people can get quite obsessive about their favorite celebrities and, you know, almost think in terms of tabloid looking covers of things, and it's, you know, I guess there's a part of me that really feels for celebrities, because I tend to be more of a private person. I can't imagine being in the spotlight to that degree and complete lack of privacy and people wanting you and needing bits of your clothing or whatever.
I touch on this in the presentation, because Michael Jackson is, even today, he's likely the pinnacle of human celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, throughout history. I mean, yes, there are people who are incredibly famous in the past, but they didn't have the hot media of television and magazines and all of that which was surrounding him. And I have quotes from different people who worked with him about what it was like to be in the streets with him. And it was like people would just drop to their knees and cry.
Yeah.
Like the accounts of what it was like to encounter him sound like Jesus or other holy people throughout history. And Michael Jackson often compared himself to Jesus. And he oddly identified with people like the Elephant Man.
Yes.
Because he considered himself a true freak, and that he also says in his autobiography that he was the loneliest person in the world, or he felt that he was, and that he had a hard time connecting with people. That's why he also had a lot of intense relationships with animals. And as we remember, you know, you may remember him in Bubbles.
Yes, the chimpanzee.
So, but that kind of a relationship between man and animal is actually an aspect of spirituality as well.
Sure.
And so I get into that and talk about that, and him and Bubbles, that story, as with anything, it's hard to know what is true and what is false in all aspects of his life. And he purposely added to that.
Like, oh, I think he totally did. He knew how to work the sensationalism of things.
Yeah, but supposedly his sister in a documentary, his sister LaToya, says that Michael wanted to actually speak with Bubbles. And he was consulting teams of doctors to see if they could reposition his larynx. And so because, like, chimps can't speak because of where that's positioned.
Where that's positioned.
So he was trying to find a medical team who would take that on, and nobody would. Whether that's true or not, that's what LaToya has said on camera. So, yeah, but, I mean, he had a menagerie of animals. He actually, his first hit song was a song named Ben, and it was a love song to a rat. It's fascinating to watch his relationship with animals progress throughout his life, you know, till the end where he, you know, in Thriller, he's got a tiger on him, you know, on the cover of Thriller. Like, once you start to notice these things about him, you can see them throughout his life.
Well, he didn't have to be someone for them in particular, like you would for a human. It's easy. I feel for most people when they're animal people and they love, it's easier for them with animals than humans.
Yeah.
Because of that unconditional love they feel. Yeah.
And that kind of segues to the most controversial topic of his life, which is his relationships with children.
Yeah.
And it is really, so in the presentation, I try to show all the confusion about that aspect of his life. And I'm not arguing, like, as a mother, I would not sit here and say I don't find his activity with children strange. I mean, you know, there were parents who just, like, left their kids with him for not even knowing him and just left them there for days. Like, and why would a grown man want to do that? But at the same time, if you look into the legal, it's very complicated. They could not convict him on any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there are children like Macaulay Culkin or Corey Feldman, spend time with him as children who say he was the opposite of a molester, that Corey Feldman in his book talks about how he was familiar with pedophilia from working in the film industry, and that Michael Jackson actually helped heal him from those experiences. So it's like a very strange thing to say about somebody who then is also accused of the same crime. And so that's why even as you know, that aspect of his life gets incredibly complicated, and I don't know what to make of it. I just try to discuss what we know or what we can't know, what has been said and what contradicts what has been said.
So it's kind of like trying to do an archaeological dig on his life to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you have someone who very much like the people who were in charge of the Mayan and Incan and Aztec empires, and they got to a point where they would only live at the top of the pyramid, right? And it was very difficult for them to have any connection with any of the lower downs because of that. And there's a loneliness being at the top of that kind of world and put into the position of a god, the god-like figure that he has become. You're saying, people dropping to their knees. It's like Beatlemania gone to another level.
Yeah, I mean, even even celebrities would speak about how they were. Like Madonna herself, she said she'd have to pinch herself and remind herself that he was human. Things like that.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on with Michael Jackson?
And then there was that Men in Black movie where they made sure they flashed his face up on the screen as an alien.
Okay. That's a good connection, too, because he talked about UFO experiences, and he claimed he saw a UFO over the North Pole when he was flying, and there's some connection there. It's also really hard to know, like I said, what is true and what is false. And all, the problem with researching him is in the later era of his life, it's hard to find anything other than about the child's case.
Mm, mm.
So he wasn't often speaking about his other things, you know. You could spend your whole year researching Michael Jackson and still just have new threads to of research to go down. It's like every aspect of his life is like a hall of mirrors. And it's fascinating, but it's also overwhelming. So in my presentation, it's basically a sketch of questions and kind of pointing to things about how he is both black and white. Child, adult,
yes.
Male, female,
yes.
You know, the man, animal. Even one of the most fascinating things I discovered is his blurring of the states of awake and asleep.
Mm. Ooh,
because
tell that.
When he died, a Harvard doctor testified at the manslaughter trial that he is one of the only human beings we know that went 60 days without REM sleep, because he had hired this doctor, Conrad Murray, and he was taking propofol, which is an anesthetic, and it was being administered in his home, which is absolutely unheard of. This is something that people get for surgery, in a hospital setting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he wasn't sleeping. He was going into a coma at night. And for 60, while he was rehearsing his big comeback, and when you go into this propofol state, or, you know, this induced coma state,
mm-hmm.
you're not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not getting REM. You're in another space.
Oh.
And I kind of question or draw some material together to raise the question of why was he doing this? Was he doing this to get rest? And I would argue he was doing it for creative inspiration.
Mm.
Because he talked a lot about getting his songs and dreams or from God. Like, he always said his work came from God. It was hard to put his name on it because it just came to him already there. And there's a quote that I discovered from Deepak Chopra, who was friends with Michael, and he said, Michael had asked him, had he ever heard of this substance that took you to the valley of death? And Deepak Chopra said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, I think he was talking about this propofol, that he was able to access another realm when he was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found another quote that was in Entertainment Weekly that said he would come, after he would get up in the morning, he would come to the set and be like, I have all these ideas. And every day it was new ideas he was coming with. And finally the director said, you know, we got to stop with the ideas. We have to put this into motion. And Michael said, well, you know, my ideas are coming from God. And if you don't use them, he's going to give them to Prince.
Oh, yeah, because there was a competition between the two of them. I think he, at one point, because I tried to pick up a book in advance of this at the library, and it said that he had tried to do a duet with Prince, but he didn't respect Prince because Prince was bad with women or something.
Yeah,
he was bad to women.
If you think about it, Prince was Prince is the only celebrity who came close to challenging him in any sort of charismatic or, you know, that type of level of interest way, I think. And so it was, he was the closest thing he had to a rival.
Yeah.
And in the presentation, there is this page from the National Enquirer that that was Michael Jackson's favorite false story about himself, which is Prince using ESP to drive Bubbles mad.
Yeah, I think he fed stories on purpose. Yeah.
He absolutely did. He was inspired by P.T. Barnum and the autobiography of P.T. Barnum. He had his whole entire staff read that. It became his strategy. So when you, in the late 80s, when you see these stories about him sleeping in a chamber, I forget what kind of a chamber it was, but the chamber to prevent aging, or him buying the elephant man's bones, those were stories Michael himself planted in the media and then rallied against. I mean, then they created this Wacko Jacko persona that then he fought against.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got a video called Leave Me Alone where he's, you know, dissing the tabloids, but the headlines flash in the video, but they're all stories that he planted himself about himself.
Wow.
So he's a very, very confusing, fascinating
character. And people are still, celebrities still try to work that today. In the same manner. There are others that are using these kinds of tactics, if you will, the showmanship. And I wanted to ask you about the fact that he, he's soft-spoken, you know, if you were to just talk to him like that, right? But then he would go and his little, power performances, and he kind of was angry. There's an anger that seemed to come out of some of his performances later on.
Yeah, supposedly the voice was fake, that he actually had a masculine voice and he was able to make his voice that way.
Uh-huh.
But then there's other rumors that he was, and I'm forgetting the term, but that he was castrated by his parents in puberty so that his voice would remain that feminine, you know, because the male voice changes quite a bit during puberty.
Sure.
But that's a tradition that was they used to do to the young male opera singers.
Yeah.
And there are people who claim, like I think it's Conrad Murray, the doctor who was charged for manslaughter for his death. I think he's publicly claimed that he was castrato. Castrated by his family. And then there are many who discount that, and, you know, that's just a story.
Another story.
It's the folklore of Michael Jackson. So that's why when I'm doing this research, I'm not trying to discern what is true or false. I'm trying to draw from what is out there and create this picture of the mythology that surrounds him, because there's no other way to do it, really. I mean, you'd have to embrace everything about him, which, you know, since his death, too, there's been a lot of news reports about seeing him in the clouds or in reflections or...
There'll probably be some toast showing up with his face on it or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, similar, you're exactly right, similar to the Marian vision.
Yeah.
I have a series of slides that I show image of Michael being reported in a very similar manner.
I have another question. So what do you feel the one glove thing symbolizes?
I have a theory
Okay.
that I present in the presentation. So I was watching, there was an ABC special about the anniversary of his death. It may have been like the 10th anniversary of his death or something like that. And they were interviewing his costumers. So he had it was a male couple that had done all of his, you know, stage clothing for a number of years. And Diane Sawyer is interviewing them, and she says, you know, how did you choose what to dress him in for his, for the coffin? Or her first question is, how would you describe Michael Jackson's personal style? And without missing a beat, they both say on cue, Liberace goes to war. So then she says, so how did you decide what would be his final outfit, and was he buried with the white glove? And they said, oh no, he was not buried with the white glove. That glove represents the song Billie Jean. And so I'm thinking, what does that mean? And so then I did a deep dive into the meaning of Billie Jean, and what I've discerned, or, you know, my theory is that, you know, the song Billie Jean is what made Michael a superstar.
Oh, yeah. That was the moonwalk, and, right? Wasn't that the moonwalk
and
one?
He talks about Billie Jean, you know, it came as a download in his head when he was traveling in a Rolls Royce on a highway, and the song comes to him, or it had already come to him that he was playing it in his mind at this point, and the Rolls Royce sets on fire, and he has to be, you know, motorist, like, waving, like, you're on fire, and so that happens, and then he performs the song Billie Jean live for the first time at the Motown 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
And that's the first time he does the moonwalk, and he's wearing the white glove, and he had been wearing the white glove off and on since the 70s, but nobody noticed until this Billie Jean performance. And so everyone, himself and his critics and people around him, all cite this moment as the moment Jackson went from a pop star to the superstar that he became, you know, this one performance of Billie Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he's in this new stratosphere, right? And Thriller and all this. And this lasts for 8 months. And then another strange thing happens when he's doing a performance of Billie Jean. He's doing it for a Pepsi commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts on fire again and doesn't know he's on fire. And he goes down, descends an entire staircase with his head aflame. And it gets put out, but he had insane damage to his scalp. He had to have many surgeries. You know, later in life, he's wearing wigs and stuff. He was really damaged by that fire. And then, you know, he was not into drugs or anything like that, or plastic surgery or like that. That kind of marks the downfall.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what this means. It's a synchronicity, though, that he starts on fire twice with this song that he's been given to him from the gods, according to him.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know what to say about it other than to observe it. But, yeah, so the glove to Michael represented the song Billie Jean, according to...
Even though he'd been wearing it on and off before that song.
Right, but nobody, yeah. But then it kind of became a symbol of his transformation.
Mm-hmm. This idea of the phoenix.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And then to ashes.
But he really was only in that perfect stratosphere of superstardom for 8 months. Mm-hmm. Because then all the problems start after the Pepsi tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that was, you know, hugely tragic.
Yeah, he's the king of pop, and he's also the king of pop. Soda. Soda pop.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of theories of, like, well, he was doing, he was selling out for money and ads. And there is a lot of talk about how he was heavily pressured into doing that for his brothers, so his brothers would make money, because he had separated from the Jackson 5. He started out with the Jackson 5 from brothers, and that he was pressured into doing this whole tour with them to make them money. And, you know, there's a lot of family drama with him and his family and money and...
Well, I think that's... He maneuvered at the 25th Motown anniversary thing. He said he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do that show. But they said, please come do the show. He said, I'll do it if I could do a solo. And that's when that all happened, right?
Yeah,
and
yes, because Billie Jean was not a Motown song.
Right. It's like, what is that doing there? Oops. he's actually blasting out of Motown by doing that song.
Yeah.
And certain artists will do that. Let's say they were country and then all of a sudden here they are in rock. You know, pop rock or whatever. You know, people will change a genre almost kind of deliberately thumbing nose at a certain thing. And that's what he did, I think. So, can we talk about the fact that the king of pop for a while there was married to the king of rock's daughter, that dynastic transitioning of power concept?
Yes. Lisa Marie.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I talk about this too in the presentation, how it was shortly after the first accusations there was two court cases. So the first court case with accusations from a child's parents, right after he courted, she was married at the time, I think, Lisa Marie, she got a divorce to marry Michael. They get married. Many people might remember images of them on stage at the MTV Awards kissing and everybody thinking it wasn't believable and thinking it was kind of gross and seeing them together and being like, no, this is not a true pairing. And, you know, I felt that way too, that it was, they didn't seem like truly married, or it seemed like it was a publicity stunt, or what was the real story there? But I kind of changed my mind on that when I dug up this interview with Lisa Marie and Oprah Winfrey, and this is after he died, and Oprah is kind of interviewing her about the marriage and saying, you know, was it a real marriage? And Lisa Marie said, being around Michael Jackson made me feel higher than any drug I've ever taken. And she said, the only person I've ever encountered who was like that was my father. And so you can see then it immediately becomes believable. You know, that she was attracted to him because he reminded her of her father. And she said, in every way it was a normal marriage and we were trying to have children. But she was afraid that if they did have children, that and then they got divorced, that he would keep them from her.
Mm.
Or there was some, she was, you know, she was concerned about that.
Yeah,
and
he's very powerful. He's very powerful at that point, yeah.
Right, so it kind of put the kibosh, and there was, I think, but she claims that they were trying to conceive a child, and that it was normal in every way a marriage would be.
So then that leads me to another question, since we've been talking about Michael Jackson, but also the mediums that connect with him. Have any mediums connected with Elvis and Michael Jackson and has Elvis said, I didn't want my daughter married to Michael Jackson? Or anything like that? Like, you know, that sense of, sometimes people in spirit, they are opinionated of where they stand about things.
I have not encountered that, but I'm certain there must be a medium out there who can comment on that.
Sure.
And I mean, a lot of times, you know, so I've been giving this talk or this, you know, it's a visual presentation on Michael, and it's evolved over time, but since 2013, I've been doing this, and many times mediums in the audience have come up to me after and said, Michael really likes, he gave me a message to give to you that he really likes
He really likes your presentation. He likes that you're doing
this. I've had that experience, but I've never heard from Elvis about what.
Because sometimes people in spirit, like connect as a medium, connecting to someone's loved ones in spirit, their grandma can say one thing and their father can say another, and they don't necessarily agree about things.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To me, that's even more proof, because they're like, oh, absolutely, that's exactly how they were. And, so to me, that's where evidence, if you will, or true communication from spirit. You know, not everything is just, oh, we all get along. people have maintained their personality. So, back to this idea of him being this mythical figure, this idea of people saying, well, I have my connection that I've had with Jesus or Buddha or whatever, and now there are people that are, have this connection with this mythical, mystical Michael Jackson. What are your thoughts about that? Putting him into that category seems a bit much to me, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also depends on what your faith is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've met people who believe that there are things like demigods and that, and that's why I would associate him with the idea of a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
In Catholicism, which I was raised Catholic, saints have power, and you can speak to them and pray to them,
okay.
And they can help you. They can, they can take on your prayer. And
so, what help have people reported Michael Jackson giving them from spirit side of life? Has anybody come forward with any like, oh, I felt the spirit of Michael Jackson with me, and he helped me in such a way?
Well, there's this new religion kind of starting around him, which
wow.
I don't know too much about, but it's a kind of a religious movement, and they call it there's one aspect of it called Michaeling, where they go to a spot and they imitate him.
Oh.
Right. And so
interesting.
That is one aspect I have to get more information on. But there are, because there's a lot of, these sites around the world that act as, memorials, but, people go there and remember him. And there's one in Germany, and
wow.
I forget why that spot is super special to Michael Jackson.
Hmm.
But there are people who believe that, he works like a saint and that,
but in what particular way does he help them? Does he help them with music? Or does he help them with some other aspect of their life?
I don't know if they pray to him or how Michael works.
But
in
what would
life.
They expect him to do that they couldn't get from praying to, let's say, God? what I'm trying to say? Like, what is it that they expect?
Yeah, well, I mean, God might intercede.
In what way do they want him to intercede, I guess is my question.
I don't know, because that is one aspect I haven't researched.
So. Yeah, so that would be neat to know whether they expect him to, drop in and have a talk with their parents and everything.
Yeah,
good.
Or if he's, completed any miracles for people.
Yes.
Or healing. That's an interesting aspect that I have to look into more.
So, by and large, the way he's come through to mediums, he's come through as the entertainer, basically. The understanding of, he hasn't come through as the animal communicator, per se. He's come through as the entertainer, let's sing, let's dance, let's mimic that.
Yeah.
That entertaining behavior, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, there's mediums who claim, like I mentioned, the Long Island medium, and she says that he came and told her details about his life that prove that he was not guilty of the accusations against him, There's that. Also, his brothers, I have quotes from his brothers that say that whenever he comes to them, whenever they sing, there was an album, I forgot about this. This was in the presentation where, after he died, he is the highest grossing dead celebrity.
But I had read that he did that. He bought up song. He knew how to make it so he would get as much money back as he could from his songs, but also by purchasing songs and the rights
to
them.
The Beatles catalog.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, after he died, there was an album released called Escape.
Okay.
That was material that was never released when he was alive. And there was a team on it, and one of the producers was a producer named Timbaland. And I have quotes from him from some popular magazine, where he said, the spirit of Michael Jackson came in the room, told him what to do, he heard it with his own ears, and that he's not crazy, and that it really happened, and that he came to him to help him make the album. And, you know.
Okay, so in that case, it was actually creative force that Michael Jackson wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, they said, yeah.
In
and
that
I mean,
case, yeah.
Do you remember the hologram?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, they brought him back. The whole album was this attempt to invoke the spirit of Michael Jackson, and they
mm-hmm.
literally made a 3D construction of him with this hologram.
Yeah.
And by doing that, the people who were involved also experienced, like, something real as well. So
that's interesting.
It's very, very interesting.
Especially in the day and age now that we, you know, things have sped out so much with technology that you can actually, a video can be made of Michael Jackson speaking as if he was right now. Like,
yeah.
You know, the people are able to do that on a technology front.
Yeah, and there's quotes from him that he never wanted to die, he wanted to live forever,
mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm.
he believed he could live forever through film.
Mm,
and
mm.
that towards the end of his life, he was trying to do more film work, more film projects.
The whole thing was, you know, people would say, Elvis isn't dead. He didn't die. No, he's not dead. And there's that idea with Michael Jackson, too, this idea, oh, he's not dead.
Yes.
Some people saying
actually,
he's not really dead. It's all fake. They're both alive somehow.
There's, you know, there has been some, you know, with a lot of the conspiracy theories that are going around now, something that is involved with that is celebrities who are actually alive and did not die. And so Michael plays into that as well, the whole, that whole phenomena of that's happening right now. I do know Michael is one of the celebrities that they say is still alive.
So at that point, it's like, well, then these mediums that say that they've been in connection with Michael, and yet he's alive. So there's all this idea of the mythology of when somebody gets so big, somebody gets bigger than life, right? Like Elvis has, and like Michael Jackson, and like an Egyptian god, per se, right? That idea of getting so, so big that they cannot die to some extent. It's that idea of somehow they can transcend death.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's like their archetypal power because they
right.
start to represent principles or
mm-hmm.
ideas,
mm-hmm.
things that
mm-hmm.
exist in the world, and then they become that symbolic of that.
Sure. Well, it's really fascinating. Any last thoughts? I know we've covered a lot of ground. Any last thoughts either relating to the mediumship portion of the Michael Jackson understanding or the spiritualist understanding? Because I know you're going to have a lot that you're going to share in your lecture. We should announce actually right now the date. The date of that is January, what is it, 25th, and they can get access to that, purchase a ticket to it through your website. Is that right?
Yeah. You can go to shannontaggart.com/events,
mm-hmm.
And the first thing that pops up is that event, and if you scroll down, you will see links to the other Lilydale presentations that are happening throughout the spring,
mm-hmm.
and if you scroll down from that, you'll even see a sneak preview of what will happen this summer in Lilydale, the schedule for the live symposium, so all of that is at shannontaggart.com. www.lilydaleradio.com/events.
Great. So people can get the full lecture from you. Because, we're just drawing from a few pieces for today's episode. But you're going to really go in depth. And I know you'll do pictures and explain about things. I think it's going to be a great presentation. People should probably try to tune in for.
Yeah.
Especially because you've been building it over the years.
Yeah. And, just talking about this gives me, I should add this and that. It just keeps growing and changing every time I do this presentation.
Sure. Well, I know you'd been, when we were off camera, you were talking about how this relates into spiritualism as well. Just if you can tell people a little bit about that, that'd be great too.
With the connection of the celebrities, throughout history, throughout mediumship, and him being this contemporary fascinating figure, he also consulted spiritualist mediums and was a healer and did hands-on healing. He had his own system. I think I mentioned that earlier.
Sure.
He also considered himself to be clairvoyant. And I do, in the presentation, I give all the examples I could find of that, him publicly stating his own experience of clairvoyance.
How many, approximately, if you had to guess, of instances were you able to find so far?
I probably have three distinct examples, plus a long piece about how he channeled his art. So you could classify him as a spirit artist, the way that spiritualists classify spirit art, the way he speaks about it. And even the opening quote of Moonwalker, he quotes Thomas Edison, and Quine was important in who was interested in spiritualism himself. And he also quotes John Lennon saying that he's like a medium. This musician, he is like a medium. So there are points within Michael Jackson's creative work where he compares himself to a medium and describes it as, a form of spirit art, a form of channeled work. So you could very much view him with that lens as well.
Certainly. Now, he has children, and they're grown up since. Is there any understanding that they've had connection with their father in spirit? Because I imagine that's pretty private. They're pretty private and not in the limelight like their celebrity father.
I haven't run across a lot of that stuff. I think the most public one is his daughter, Paris. But I don't know too much about the children. I don't think they speak about their personal lives too much. I haven't run against or across anything like that. It would be incredible to interview one of his siblings or something. I didn't know anybody who had ever met him. And I met a woman who was a video maker who made one of his videos.
Oh, wow.
Randomly met her at an event, and I said, what was it like to be around him? And she said, you're going to laugh, but when I was around him, the only way to describe it is like there was like electricity in the air, like static electricity. You could feel. And she said, I told my husband that, and he made fun of me and laughed at me and said I was being absurd. But then, I saw this interview with his longtime makeup artist, and she said the same thing. Every time she was in a room with him, she could feel like static electricity. You could feel the energy around him. So, his personal charisma, or his, for lack of a better term, supernatural presence is an aspect I would love to hear more about. I would also love to get comments from people who knew him more intimately, but, that's impossible right now, so I'll just...
Soldier on with what you've been able to glean from all these different sources, and I think it's wonderful. You have the array of the historical, autobiographical, and biographical standpoint. And, I mean, there are a lot of court documents you could sift through and interviews you could sift through, but that you have access to the mediums that have also connected in with him. So you have the archaeological dig of that and then beyond, and how he's possibly shaping things in the time to come.
Yeah, I just heard, I mean, speaking of the legal documents, I just heard, found a quote from Megyn Kelly, the former, the broadcaster.
Yes.
There's a clip of her recently talking about how she became fascinated by the case and actually read all the legal paperwork from his molestation cases, and she believes he was innocent. So, and that there's stuff like that that comes out that's like, what? How could that, you know, how could that be? That, I mean, she's a lawyer. She's married as a lawyer. And, she was so curious, she read all the documents, which, you know, I don't know. She's never done a program. This is like a quote I found from her.
Sure. It might be something she's working on. So, I mean, like you, there will be other people that are also working on different aspects of Michael Jackson, the myth, the man, the legend, as it were.
I mean, he's a million things at once, and that's kind of what the whole project is about, like, that he's like this flickering ball of opposites that you can't take your eyes off of. And he's definitely one of, the most unique humans I've ever encountered in life, you know.
Well, I just really appreciate you coming on the show today and explaining about those things and letting us banter about Michael Jackson today and his diving into some of his spiritual aspect. And, you know, there's that gritty humanness that everybody will have, and it'll be rare that somebody has this level of celebrity and reach, shall we say. But I do feel it's a combination of that magnetism that he was able to develop, that level of the static electricity. But there's that understanding that there's this homage that people, the nod that they'll give to Michael Jackson in their life, in the here and the now. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. And I encourage people to take a look and maybe sign up for Shannon's presentation, because it's just around the corner, folks, and you want to make sure you get a ticket and reserve your spot so that you can enjoy her full presentation regarding Michael Jackson. And look forward to having you on the program for the summer as well. And again, go to shannontaggart.com. for more information. Oh, before I sign off today, I need to mention to everybody, I'll be starting up my Monday night mediumship development circles again on January 31st. So you can go ahead and sign up on my website, willowwhite.com. I also have video lessons that you can have viewing access to until January 16th. So those are things that you'll want to take a look at on my website, willowwhite.com. And for more episodes of Wednesdays with Willa, tune in to my Facebook page, like, share, follow on Willa White Medium. Have a beautiful week, everyone. Thank you, Shannon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.